May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 30. Hymn number 30. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. Hymn number 30.
From the Word of God, we read from the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 6, commencing at verse 22. The Gospel recorded by John, chapter 6, from verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which he have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my bread, my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Almighty and holy Lord God, do help us now to worship thee aright. Help us now by faith to draw near thy throne, and give us that real, true, vital, living prayer. Give to us that reverence for thy name, that appreciation for the greatness and the majesty and the power of the one who we are now professing to worship. May we by faith see Jesus, and in seeing adore and worship at thy feet. And crown thee Lord of all. We ask a blessing on thy word. We thank thee for it. We pray that it might be made that manna from heaven that we have read of, that water of life to our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies and for thy kindness, which bring us each again, the beginning of a new week of time, into thy house. For thy returning day of rest. For the health and strength that thou hast given to us each in measure. For our faculties, our homes, our loved ones, our possessions, our careers. We thank thee, Lord, for the house of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we are at liberty again to sing thy praises. May they be sung from the heart and with understanding of what we sing. Teach us by thy Spirit the truths contained in the hymn book. And do abundantly hear and answer the prayer of our opening hymn in all our hearts. And in the sanctuary of God this day. We thank thee, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for his precious blood, for his spotless righteousness, for the love that he has for sinners, and for all the blessings which flow from Calvary. For access with the Father in heaven, for the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see that these are great blessings. We thank thee, Lord, for thine amazing grace, thine amazing love, that sacred communion. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon us. And thy blessing upon thy word. Do open our hearts and our ears and our eyes and give us now the faith to listen to what thou wilt say. Give us, Lord, the expectation that thou wilt speak. Give us, Lord, the desire that thou would speak unto us, and then, Lord, speak and make us hear and recognize thy voice and understand what thou art saying to us. May we take heed to thy word and treasure it in our hearts. May we be made obedient, hear us. And Lord, may we know what it is to walk with God by faith. Bless each one found in thy house and each absent one. Remember especially the wife of the deacon here. We pray thy blessing upon her and do help her and sustain her and do sustain him and his family in these troublous days. May Jesus himself draw near and yet go with them. And any other, Lord, who are detained from thy cause, for whatever reason. And bless those who are here. Remember the young, the babes, the children, those at the start of life. Put a hedge about them, Lord. Protect them from this world. Open doors for them and provide for their every need. Give wisdom to their parents to bring them up in thy fear. Early in life, if it is thy will, call them by thy grace. Visit them with thy love. May they be privileged to walk all their lifetime through in thy company. And Lord, may they be raised up to be a blessing in the house of God, in the generation following this one. Remember those in the midst of life. Help them in business concerns, in work concerns, in their family needs, in their soul needs. Among the busy scenes of life, may they often be found looking unto thee. May they not forget the one thing needful. May there be that desire to be prepared and to be made ready. And grant, Lord, that help to bring forth fruit, even in the middle time of life. And then remember those in the evening time of the journey. And may they fulfill thy word when it says that they will bring forth fruit in old age. And may they know what thou didst say, fulfilled, even to old age, I will carry you. Lord, may they know what it is to be carried in Christ's arms. Thy presence through their journey shine and crown their journey's end with heaven, with thine eternal immediate presence. Be with any, Lord, who may need thee in any special way at this time. Do draw near unto them and supply them with that need. Do give each one of us that grace sufficient that we will each need every day of this week. May we know thy saving name. Bless, we pray, the church of God here. Bless the ministry of thy word in this place. Remember the deacons and help them in the office thou hast called them to, and each member of this church, unite them together and keep them together in love and union, in humility and grace. May they be a fruitful church to thine honour and glory. And Lord, remember each one in the congregation. May they also know thy blessing, thy help. May they also know what it is to bring forth fruit. Lord, may it not be just a fruitful church. May it be a fruitful congregation also. And do grant, Lord, that increase here in the church and in the numbers who gather in the congregation. Do grant that growth in grace. Do grant that clearer and deeper knowledge of Christ, that more sure and firm grounding in the truth, that more consistent life. Bless thy church as it gathers today, up and down our land and throughout the world. Own and bless the ministry of thy servants this day. Grant, Lord, the preaching tongues and grant the hearing ears. And grant, Lord, that there may be signs following today, that it has not all been in vain. And do bless, we pray, thy glorious gospel as it is proclaimed today. And may many sinners look unto thee by faith. Lord, may there be those who look for the first time. May there be those who look again, who have looked before. And do remember our land and nation and put thy fear in our rulers. Cause them yet to hear thy voice and make them willing to turn course and to return to thy ways which we have so long forsaken, neglected and despised. And grant, Lord, that we too may hear thy voice. For Lord, art thou not speaking to us in these solemn events that have taken place in the past year and a half? Lord, thou art not just speaking to the ungodly, to those outside, but thou art speaking to us too. Lord, may we hear that word and know what thou art saying. Above all, Lord, may we be prepared for eternity. May, Lord, we hear and preach and worship today with that last day in view and a desire that we may receive something today that may support us and sustain us in that dying hour. So, Lord, we ask now for thy help. We ask for thy blessing. We ask for thy presence. And we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the Gospel recorded by John, the 6th chapter, verses 66 to 69. The 66th to the 69th verses of John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." The words of our text mark the beginning of the outright hostility and opposition of the unbelieving Jews to the message that Christ had to bring. Before the events of our chapter, he was at the height of his popularity. In the early days of his ministry, crowds were following him, hanging, it seemed, on his every word. And yet, they come to our text. And they walk no more with him. They go back. They give up. And prove that they were never true disciples in the first place. They began well. What can be better than seeking for Jesus? What can be better than hearing the sermons of the only perfect preacher that has ever preached a sermon? And yet, with many of them, it had no lasting gracious effect whatsoever. There was something wrong at the root. Our reading began with his disciples taking ship, seeking for Jesus when they couldn't find him. Seems that they are the Lord's disciples, like Peter and James and John, seeking for Jesus. And yet the solemn thing is that for many, it was the last time they ever did seek for him. What was wrong? They were seeking him for the wrong reason. Whereas with Simon Peter and the 11 disciples, They had been brought to seek him for the right reason. So why were they seeking him? Well, no doubt there were a variety of reasons. In the verses in the opening part of the chapter, which we did not read, we have the account of when the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000. And the events of our text are the day following that event. And so many of those who are in our text were those who had literally been miraculously fed the previous day. Now some no doubt went because it was the popular thing to do at that time. Word had spread of this new preacher that was walking about preaching. And many, no doubt, they went out of curiosity to hear for themselves. Some heard of his miracles, which he was performing, and they wanted to see these miracles. Almost like they wanted to be entertained. Some sought him as a reason which the Lord gave. One reason, because they had eaten the bread and the fishes the previous day. And they rather liked the idea of having a free meal repeated, so they didn't have to get their own. Seeking him for a carnal reason, they wanted it repeated. But even though they had benefited from the miracle bodily, with many of them, it did not have a saving effect. It didn't make them believe that this one who had given them this meal was the Christ. And they were offended, even though they had seen with their own eyes what no one else had ever seen done. Yet it had no lasting effect. It didn't produce faith. Some followed, perhaps, because their families went, or their friends, and they didn't want to be left behind. Whatever the reason, they did not follow because they loved Christ. They did not follow because they believed in him, and they did not follow because they really wanted to hear what he had to say. Because when, instead of not repeating that miracle, he instead begins to preach to them of the necessity of feeding by faith on him, and that he is the bread and the water of life, it offends them so much that they go back and walk no more with him. They went back. No longer did they enjoy or seek his company. No longer did they sit under his sermons. No longer did they see other of his miracles. They went back, carried on with their life, had nothing more to do with him, because they did not like his preaching. They went back and walked no more with him. And eventually they walked straight into hell. Then Jesus asks a question of the 12. Will ye also go away? It seems that the majority who had followed him had gone, had left him, had given up. And now Jesus puts the question to the 12. He tries their faith. Will ye also go away? Will you also leave me? Will you also go your own way and walk no more with me? And follow the crowd and the multitude and be influenced by them? Will ye? Simon Peter gives this most blessed answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, this is why the disciples followed him. The 11, we leave Judas. They wanted these words of eternal life, and they knew that no one else could give them to them. They knew they needed them. And if they went away from the Lord, they would not have the need that they felt supplied by anybody else. They believed by precious faith that this one was Christ, the Son of the living God. And that faith made them cleave to him. Now, interestingly, I found a definition of faith which was quite telling. Because in the original Hebrew, the original Greek, it means trust and confidence and reliance. The other day, just out of interest, I thought I'd look at what the word meant in the Oxford Dictionary. And it too said it meant trust, but it added something else. It said trust and complete loyalty to a person or a cause. Here we have these disciples showing that loyalty, standing with Christ when others were walking away, standing with Christ when it was beginning to become costly. Standing with Christ when the opposition was beginning to make itself known. Let us seek that trust and that loyalty to stand whatever the cost. Will ye also go away? So here we have the difference. The difference really is that these 11 had been taught to love God, had been taught to love Christ, and that is the right route to seeking him. And if we seek him for any other reason, then eventually our faith will fail. And that is why the Lord tries and tests our faith, that it might show what it really is. And the fire of adversity and tribulation In this case, the fire was, they could not understand with their natural wisdom. And because they trusted their natural wisdom rather than Christ, they went back. They made an idol of their natural understanding. And they thought that couldn't be wrong, therefore Christ must be wrong. But living faith is the other way round. Christ cannot be wrong. And therefore, if we cannot understand, it's because our understanding is limited and finite and sinful and not to be trusted in. Will ye also go away? We are seeking Christ for our own reasons. Because we think we will find earthly happiness or prosperity or security. Eventually, when the trials come, we'll give up. How many of us have been brought to seek Christ for love's sake? Because we love him. How many of us have been brought to sought Christ? Because like Peter, we believe he has the words of eternal life. And that we know we need that eternal life. And we need those words which show us the way to eternal life. And therefore we value that above anything else, and so we cannot go. Will ye also go away? These 11 couldn't go away because they'd been drawn by the Spirit of God. And if you're drawn by the Spirit of God, you cannot go away. We're drawn by any other reason, we will eventually go. Will ye also go away? It's as if the Lord is saying to those 11, if you go away, it'll be easier. If you go away, you'll be more popular. You'll have a quieter life. You'll escape the cross. You'll escape the tribulations that are going to come if you stay with me. You'll be able to do your own thing. But there will be a reckoning. Where will you spend eternity? And eternity mattered more to the 11 than popularity or ease for a short time here below. What does it mean to you? Will ye also go away? Well, if ye are tempted to go away, where are you going to go to? Who are you going to replace Christ with? Can any other forgive your sin? Can any other relieve you of that burden of sin that you have long borne? Can any other make you ready for heaven? Can any other guide you in that road to heaven and prepare you for it? Can any other give you a righteousness which is perfect and which will make you ready for God's presence? What is the answer? The answer is no one else can. Simon Peter knew that. By grace, do you know that? And to that one this morning who came into the Lord's house and the devil is saying to you, you may as well give up. You've gone too far. How long have you prayed, he says, and you haven't got an answer? What is the use of carrying on when you get no answer? Pray on. Because by giving up, which is what the devil wants you to do, where are you going to get the answer you need? The devil's not going to give it to you. You can go into the world. You can have your fill of the variety of entertainments that the devil has to take up our time. But will that rid you of your burden of sin? You may forget it for a while, but you won't be rid of it because it will come back. You may go into sin, but that's only going to increase the burden. To whom else can you go? So the answer is not give up. The answer is go on. But be patient a little longer yet. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. You say, I can't go on. I have come to a complete halt. Then ask the Lord to come and carry you. Underneath are the everlasting arms, he says. That means they're carrying you. And if he carries you, it's his strength which is bearing you along. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Ask him then graciously to fulfill that word and to show you that underneath are the everlasting arms. Ask him to carry you in his bosom like that lamb, which is so young and weak that it can't get the whole way on its own, so it needs the shepherd to help and assist it. And so he carries it. You say to me, but the devil says, what's the use? It's no good. He does not listen. How do you know he doesn't listen? Has God told the devil that he will not listen to you? The devil has told you, you are not among those who are given to the Father that we have in verse 37, that precious promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But have we anywhere in Scripture warrant that God tells the devil who is in the Lamb's Book of Life? And since when does God appoint the devil to speak on his behalf? Do not trust the devil. He's a liar. And his one aim is to get you to give up and to despair. Ask God to give you that grace to carry on praying. To carry on knocking. To carry on seeking. And you will find in his time. Will ye also go away? The Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And what words they are. The words of eternal life. If God this morning was to speak to you through his word, it would be eternal life for your soul. How about words like this, fear thou not? You've got some fears, haven't you, this morning? You're afraid of the future, what it's going to bring. You're afraid what the immediate future is going to bring this week. You're afraid of some who are your enemies, who are actively opposing you. You are afraid of where your sins are going to take you. You're afraid of the day of death and of what follows death. Here the Lord speaks to you this morning, fear thou not. Do not be afraid, in other words. Be still. Be comforted. Fear thou not. Then he gives you reason. For I am with thee. And that's all you need. If Christ is with you, you've got enough. Who can be against you? The whole world can be against you. And it may cause you much difficulty and anguish and sorrow, but they cannot prevail. They can't touch your soul. They cannot cause you real eternal harm. Why? Because God is with you. Not against you, not absent from you. It means he has not forgotten you. He has not disowned you. He has not turned his back upon you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And if he's with you, that must mean, therefore, that he knows all about you. He knows what you're going through at this moment in time. And he knows what you're going to go through tomorrow. And all the tomorrows of life. Fear thou not, for I am. Those words, I am, remind us of the almightiness of God. I am with thee. You know, friends, we need God to be with us. You'll never get to heaven without him. You'll never get to heaven absent from him. You'll never get to heaven separated from him. Instead of walking no more with him, we need to know what Enoch knew. By grace he walked with God. We need the same grace. To walk with him in submission. You can't walk with someone if you aren't going the same direction. You can't walk with someone unless you're going the same pace. You can't walk with someone if you're not in agreement where you're going. And those who walk with God are made willing to submit to going in his direction, at his pace, doing his will. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And he goes on. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now dismay is greater than just fear, isn't it? You can be afraid and you can carry on. If you're dismayed, you'll come to a complete halt. Really, dismay is the greatest intensity of fear that there can be. It overwhelms you, it engulfs you, and you can't carry on. Is that where you are this morning? Be not dismayed, he says. No matter what the cause for your dismay, no matter what the many reasons which have made you dismayed, no matter what the outlook might be, and what the devil is telling you about what the outlook is going to be, which is causing you dismay, even though you cannot avoid the pathway, though you'd rather go a different one, but you've got to go with the one where you've been put in. Be not dismayed. And he gives a reason, for I am thy God. Thy God. Thy almighty God. Thy almighty friend. Thy almighty comforter. Thy almighty peace, thy almighty help, thy almighty deliverer, thy almighty defense, thy God, who is all wisdom, who is all power, who is all understanding, who knows your life from beginning to end. And who will be over it all. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And whatever it is which is causing you dismay, God can in a moment cause that dismay to cease and bring you into peace. Then he concludes it with why you should not be afraid or dismayed. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will be with thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You're going to need that. And because he's going to fulfill that for you, that's why you have no need to fear. Because he has already fulfilled it in the past. You can trust him not to forsake you now. Thou hast the words of eternal life. No one else can say, fear not. The authority that he can. Words like this, I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Perhaps you'd rather it wasn't in the furnace of affliction. But if he's chosen thee, even in that furnace, it means you will come through that furnace. It means you will come out of that furnace. It means he's chosen thee to do thee well and take thee to heaven at last. Even though it may be through a thorny road. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You sang of it in that second hymn. I delivered thee when bound, and when wounded, healed thy wound. Sought thee wandering, set thee right. Turned thy darkness into light. Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death. Thou shalt see my glory soon. Won't be long, soon. Maybe even this week. Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done, and not before. Partner of my throne shalt be, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? That's what he says to his chosen ones. That's what he says to those who he has loved with an everlasting love. That's what he says to those who are graven on his heart and on his hands. And engraving work is made to last, isn't it? That's why it cuts so deep. The one who engraves something, he knows it has to be deep because he knows it's going to have to endure all weathers which will come against it and wipe it out if it is not done properly. Child of God, not all the wanderings of your heart, not all the opposition of Satan can wipe out your name from the heart of the Saviour and from his hands. Whenever he looks at his hands, believer, he sees you. How often do you look at your hands in a day? Probably do it so often without thinking, but if you actually try to count it up, you'd probably be surprised at how often it was in a day. That is why the Lord has given that word. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. So whenever he looks at his hands, he's reminded of you. That's what he's saying. So he can't forget you until he can forget his hands, which he cannot do. He says, I've graven thee, your name. But it's not just your name, it's everything about you. Your need, your trouble, your trial, your discouragement, your sins, your past, present, and future, all in his hand. Remember, so thy walls are continually before me. What does that mean? Walls speak, don't they, of buildings. This building is made up of four walls, thy walls, continually before me. What he is really saying is, where you live, when you're in those walls, you are continually before me. Your need is continually before me. I'm watching over you, taking care of you. Even when no one else is near, you've still got me. Your work. You go to work, he goes with you. You don't go out of his sight. And your work needs, he'll supply. When you come to the Lord's house, how much you need him here. And it is here he has promised he will come and bless you. It even covers a hospital bed that you may have to go into. The day of death. It covers your school, perhaps, that you have to go to, or your university, or your college. In other words, whatever circumstance you are in, believer, Christ thinks upon you. Christ cares for you. Christ loves you with an everlasting love. And so you have no need to fear. So take courage. Fear not. Be not faint-hearted. Yes, there may be dark clouds this morning. But you know, as you come to chapel this morning, there's clouds hiding the sun, isn't there, from view. But you know, the sun's still up there, shining. You just can't see it. And not only is it shining, it is still shining in the same strength that it had when last week or the week before it was so hot. The only difference is the clouds have come between our sight and the sun, but it's still there, shining in all its glory and power. So, believer, it is with the Son of Righteousness. Yes, you knew that yesterday of a clear sky. And you rejoiced and you walked in that love of God as he shone upon you. But now you're walking in the cloud. And you're in discouragement because of it. It's winter time with you. But the sun does not die in the winter, does it? It's still there. And the summer will return in the springtime. So the Son of Righteousness has not died. He has not ceased to shine. He's not lost any of his power and glory, or his ability or willingness to save, nor his everlasting love and care for you. So, believer, this morning, ask God to give you that grace to bring forth fruit in the cloudy day, and in the winter, as well as in the summertime. There we must leave it. May there be something of profit for us. But may we also put our religion to this test. Why are we following? We are a disciple of Christ. A disciple, by definition, is a follower. Why are you following? Because it is only for love's sake to Christ. It is the right motive. And that will endure forever. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
God willing, Mr. Mark Seymour is expected to preach next Tuesday evening, not on Wednesday, as originally planned. And Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Now let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul forever dwell. 766.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.